cliffcentral.com.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. Fresh start to a fresh week. Monday. All right, I hope you're off to a good start today. I hope you managed to get some sleep last night. This heat has been impossible. Yes. You know, you just can't get cool. I was lying in bed last night, schwitzing. Like, I thought, how do fat people manage? I was like,
my word.
Sweaty and Betty Swallocks, and like had the fan on. I mean, like, I've got a fan in my bedroom, but I refuse to have air conditioning. And then last night I was like, you should have got air conditioning.
Yeah, you're trying to save the environment, Gareth. I don't blame you.
Oh my God. Well, I mean, I wasn't trying to save the environment. The environment can manage itself, as Jeremy Clarkson says. But I felt like, even the dog was looking at me going,
mm-hmm.
I was like, shit.
You know, cats when they sleep are usually shaped like a croissant, some resemblance thereof. Mine were shaped the other way around, like someone had baked it inside out, just stretching their stomachs out, trying to get some cool air.
But Bakabantu was telling me,
The temperature has to be a certain amount before you can fall asleep. It's been scientifically proven. And our houses are built for neither keeping warm nor keeping cool.
Yep.
Yeah, I had windows open, all of that stuff. But my nervousness about leaving windows open is that mozzies then come and eat you, which is what happened to Bakabantu last night. He was like, he got eaten to pieces. He says he looks like he's got leprosy on his one arm because of all the mosquito bites.
Yeah, I can't believe it. Yo, I can't stand it. Also, can mosquitoes not torture us before like they eat you? Like that, I hate that much. And they do it to mock you. And then you go, you frantically wave around, and then they're like, okay, cool.
I know. And you feel like such an idiot because you are waving your hands around like you're like retarded. I've got to ask this question. What good do mosquitoes do in the universe? Like, what is their good purpose? Like, bees will pollinate flowers and flies will clean up shit.
In the ecosystem, even flies, what do they contribute?
What do they do, these fucking mosquitoes? Oh, I hate them so much. Like, there's got to be a way, you know, with all our technological advancement, forget about trying to get to Mars. Let's first solve mosquitoes, right?
True,
we solve mosquitoes. How can we as human beings in 2023, we're busy coding DNA, we're busy working out how to, you know, edit people's genes with CRISPR. We can build robots that behave just like human beings would. We've got artificial intelligence helping everybody to sound like they've actually got brains because they put everything through ChatGPT. But we cannot stop this one tiny insect from annoying the hell out of us and spreading malaria.
Disease. Yes.
Yeah.
What the hell's wrong with us? Let's get this right. Huh?
Like, there's got to be something you can eat and then, like, the mosquito bites you and dies. And then after a while, the entire population of mosquitoes is wiped out.
Gone.
Yeah.
Wipe them out. I don't see another animal that needs mosquitoes. I don't see their role, their positive role in the ecosystem at all. And maybe being a mess.
They provide a bit of food for geckos and for spiders, but I mean, there are other food sources.
Exactly.
There's plenty of little mosquitoes.
Yeah, come on. You guys got to get your shit together, you geckos. If you need these things, then it's time. Maybe it's time for you to go as well. Huh?
Exactly.
How about that?
Right? Bottom feeders,
right?
Gone.
Let's call it a conference.
Yeah. What do we need? What are we protecting geckos for? If geckos are the reason the mosquitoes exist, then they can both go, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, and those geckos are pretty lazy. Like, yeah, they should get to work or something.
Oh, no.
All right. So how is it? No, but come on. We're not going to get into like a Save the Gecko conference here. But, does anybody who's listening to us now have some foolproof? Because sometimes the audience that listens to this show has brilliant ideas. Sometimes. I mean, I'm not going to say it all the time because some people in this audience are full of crap ideas. They really are. Like, there's some bullshit ideas in the comment section, but I have a feeling like there's some pretty, pretty, pretty good ones too. I just feel like there's some people who figured this out. And it's maybe just me and Leanne and Bakabantu are stupid enough to be falling for this stuff.
No, come on. There are lots of things. I've done it before where you can buy mesh from the hardware store and you stick that to the inside of your window so you can keep your windows open. There's another trick where you can spray your actual bedding and your sheets with an insect repellent.
But that stuff smells bad, Leanne. This is like what good night sleepy time thing that you like rub on yourself. Now you stinky
there's
a, and
there's
sweaty.
A bar of, good good there's night a bar sleep of soap.
Time.
There's a bar of soap that it was actually a woman in America who made a video about and said, "I swear by this bar of soap. It has natural insect repellent in it, and it's made in Nigeria or somewhere near there." It's like their life boy. Everyone in the country uses them. So there's that soap as well, and apparently it doesn't stink at all.
Well, I mean, I'm willing to try.
Sounds
all right. Well,
snake oil again, vibes here.
I cannot see Leanne Mole like attaching mesh to the inside of all of her windows. I don't see that happening. Did you actually do that?
I've totally done it before. Oh, yeah. I've done it before for spiders.
But like how hideous does it look?
Oh, horrible. You've got to do it to ones that are behind blinds that are usually closed.
Yeah, it looks like those windows in the Kruger National Park, right? That's what it looks like.
My favorite story of an American trying to save the problems in Africa. I will always be Bill Gates. I've told this story before, Gareth. Like sending like these malaria nets like to like some southern African country, and then they use them for fishing, and then they poisoned the entire water source, killed all the fish, and they got sick, and they still got malaria because they weren't using the malaria nets. Yo, it was a disaster.
Can you imagine the Gates household that weekend when they found out that this is what they were doing in the net? Oh my God, we tried to help these Africans and look what they did, the stupid Africans. Can you imagine? I don't know. These things, we've got to find a way to wipe them out. I mean, completely obliterate them. Maybe let's look at the comments. There might be someone smart in here. Fresh mint next to your bed seems okay. So here we go. Now we start with the old wives' tales. I like it. We've put the mesh up, says TP. Very expensive and effective for all bugs. Good night, sleepy time. That's Rohypnol. Ricardo says, I had one slip off a sweaty nutsack last night. Yeah, see, that's what happens. They don't like aloe vera baby powder.
Need to find a baby.
If you have electricity, which is a whole separate conversation we have there. Raid Liquid Electric works great with the windows open. No smell either.
So I have one of these. I found myself like going through my entire apartment looking for this thing. I couldn't find it. So now I'm there at 12, walking around, being beaten by mosquitoes, hot as hell, looking for this thing. Couldn't find it.
But they say it works, right? So, all right. So that's one. I like the idea of like natural remedies, but I'm always convinced that the way to do this is with like the nuclear approach. You've got to go for science at its most powerful and like just zap the hell out of these things. If Elon Musk listened to this podcast, mosquitoes would be eliminated in the next 72 hours, says Ricky. Probably.
He's probably true already Gareth done says, it in his own home.
Well, Luando says, let's forget getting to Mars. Let's get rid of mosquitoes. Yeah. They pollinate plants.
That's a wife's tale. No, they don't.
That's a lie. They don't eat pollen. They don't involve themselves in flowers at all, as far as I can tell.
Yep.
They're too stupid for that.
They don't
have much direction.
I mean, here's a solution that would fit with some people's lifestyles. Have half a bottle of dark rum before bed. That works like a charm.
Wait, does it make you pass out so that you don't hear them or feel them? Or does it repel them?
The aircon. Well, yes. The aircon, if you have that, it's suppose that's a way to do it. But it's such a like double-edged sword, because you want to have the windows open so you have airflow through the house, through your room, but then you also want to keep these things out. And there's nothing. Is there anything in the universe? And I'm sorry, we will move on from this in a second, but it's like you've really hit a nerve with me and with Bakabantu here this morning. Like, there's nothing worse than that, lying in bed and you hear this.
I wake up, I find them, and I either swap them with my pillow or doom them. You must doom.
Doom.
Kills them dead. Doom.
Citronella keeps them away. Okay.
Also stinks.
No, really. Yeah. I mean, the females drink blood. The males in some species do pollinate plants. Well, then they better get gay very quickly, because I'm not interested in that bullshit. Don't give me that shit, you mosquitoes.
Get gay.
The mosquitoes
they must
gay.
Get gay.
The mosquitoes
they must
gay.
Turn gay. They must be turned. That's what must happen. Oh, man. Maybe a zapper light just outside your bedroom window. Those things. Listen, have you heard when they... sounds like... I mean, it's actually hilarious. So I've got this... I've got one of those rackets that you use. Mm. And then it fries them on the racket. That thing is hilarious. And my two little nephews love it so much. So what they do is they go to my parents' house, because they've got these two plants that are outside on the veranda. And these two plants seem to be where these mosquitoes live during the day, right? And they come out at night. So what they do is they shake these plants, and then the mosquitoes fly, and then they go, racket. That's the best fun in the world. They love it. You know, keep them busy from at least half an hour with that shit. Ricky says, and this is embarrassing too. It happens to me as well. Sometimes I hit myself in the face trying to kill the mosquitoes. Mm-hmm. And you go.
Yeah, and then they taunt you because they keep quiet. And then they go.
Yeah. It's almost like they can hear you. I don't know what mosquitoes, whether they have hearing or not. But they can tell when you're like waving your arms around like a lunatic. And then they go,
yeah, they do laugh at us.
Yes.
They totally laugh at us.
Unbelievable. All right. So, guys, very important news this morning. I think this is so, so special. This is the greatest news ever. And it just proves what a stupid country we live in. Are you ready for the big story of the day? Mm-hmm. Eskom's management and board have come under fire over their preoccupation with a contentious redesign of the utility's logo and corporate identity, rather than tackling load shedding. After the country was suddenly plunged back into stage 6, and if you noticed this, I'm sure you did, on Friday, barely 2 days after the equally sudden announcement of stage 4 power cuts. So this just proves, by the way, if it suddenly goes from stage 1 to stage 6 to stage 4, like, you got to ask yourself, what are these people doing? There's no warning? Suddenly it must go from 1 to 6 or 1 to 4 to 6? I mean, it's just... It shows you that they don't know their asses from their elbows, right?
Yep.
No idea. So anyway, we've moved between no load shedding and a mixture of stage 1 to 3 over the past 2 months. Then suddenly we go straight to stage 6. But these guys are the board of this useless, the worst managed company in the world. And every board they've put in has been as bad as the previous one. So here's what they're obsessed with at the moment, is they want to redesign the logo. They believe, and this is so typical of politicians all over the world, not just in South Africa, but all over the world. They think they can spin. If you've ever watched Karine Jean-Pierre, who's the White House spokesperson, they'll literally have a violent riot outside the White House. People like shooting guns, people marching and destroying shit. And she'll go, a mostly peaceful protest occurred outside the White House today. You'd be like, I can see with my own eyes, honey. I know what's going on. But the politicians believe they can bullshit everyone else. Like, they can tell us they like mosquitoes, right? They can just go quiet, and then we'll think that they've left. And then they'll suddenly up and at them again. These guys are just so full of shit. And now... they've passed it down the chain to the state-owned enterprises, and you can even see it in companies when they put out these ridiculous statements written by ChatGPT or whatever. These guys are like, oh no, everything in our company is running perfectly smoothly. There's nothing wrong. By the way, take a look at this new logo. Pay no attention while the magician is like stealing your money out of your wallet.
It's not even a because good over magic here, trick. It's not even
over
a
here.
Good
there's
magic
a trick. Trick. It's so bad. Anyway, I don't know what they want to change the logo to because I couldn't find a picture of what the new logo is going to look like. But
I couldn't care.
It's just unbelievable. So they're preoccupied. No, yeah, they're so preoccupied with this, though.
Oh, wait, fun fact, Gareth. So they released a statement where they said they don't have a budget. So they can't reveal the budget because it's still under evaluation. So I'm like, oh, you guys have a blank check to do whatever you want. Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. And then they say they need to new brand and corporate identity. It has to be separated for globally and locally so that people can recognize Eskom as this beacon. No, it's not.
No, we don't. Nobody cares. Like, if you can't do your job, your basic job, nobody's interested in your logo.
I don't care what the Coca-Cola logo looks like, as long as it still tastes like Coca-Cola.
But this is what marketing people have started to convince themselves. They've started to think that they are so important to the rest of us, that their branding and marketing is better than their actual product. Like, the day that any of these people actually pay attention to their product is the day that they'll start doing really well, because nobody's interested in Eskom's logo. No one's sitting there going, oh, you know what the biggest problem with Eskom is? It's their logo. Do you know anyone who thinks that?
Absolutely not.
I didn't even notice the Eskom logo until we brought it up. I just know they don't give me...
I couldn't even draw it for you.
I couldn't draw it either. If we were playing a game of charades or something, or what's that game where you have to like draw things?
Pictionary.
And if you asked me to draw Eskom's logo, I wouldn't know where to start. I wouldn't be like, I know it's got like, it says Eskom.
Yeah.
But then that's where the marketing executives will say, you know, people can't even draw the logo. It's bullshit.
Yeah. So it needs to be identified. Like, oh, we need to know who we hate, Gareth.
And the worst thing is, you know what they'll do, right? They'll employ some person who is in marketing and it'll cost us, the taxpayer, millions of rands. Because some idiot marketing agency will get this brief, and then before you know it, they'll have, I don't know, 10 million rand in their account for redesigning the logo. And it won't even look that different, frankly. Yes. Most of us wouldn't even realize that it had changed.
No,
it'd
probably be one of those minimalistic logos with just like a line, like a thunderbolt.
It'll look every other dumb corporate logo.
Yep.
They'll all look the same. I mean, they all do to me anyway.
It would basically be that. This is the same company, just like for the numbers, right? Not to get too serious. What, they lost 24 billion in the past year. They refused not to take bonuses because they did such a great job. Because this is what the Minister of Electricity said. Oh no, like we have to give our people bonuses to reward them for doing such a great job.
Yeah.
Now they want to redesign a logo. Nah, guys.
Unreal.
It's ridiculous. I mean, like, just bring back Kuberg online. That's all.
But throw them into the reactor at Kuberg is my suggestion. Why stop at bringing the power stations back online? How about throwing these people into the reactor? That'll be some fuel that we're missing at the moment. Just take the entire board, throw them in the reactor. I'll tell you what, you want to see Eskom start working. You threaten the people in that next board meeting. You go in, you Josienso Ramakgopa, right? You're trying to get this country back on its feet. You're trying to get the economy going again. You say to these people, listen, Eskom, I'm counting to 20. If you guys can't figure this shit out and you can't hire the right people in the right places to make it all work, and you can't get your books balanced and tell us what the budget is and stop spending it on stupid shit like the logo redesign, until you get that right, I'm taking one person off the board and we're throwing you into the reactor. And you're going to come out with like radiation sickness. Have you ever watched the Chernobyl series?
Yeah.
Go and watch it, because that's what your future is, Eskom board. And I tell you what, the country, despite the fact that we're a liberal democracy with a constitution and the rule of law and everything else, this country's people will be all for this. They'll be lining up in the streets saying, we want radiation sickness for the Eskom executives. Watch them. People in this country are so up to here with this bullshit. Am I wrong?
No, not completely right.
Telling you. I come up with a better idea than throwing them in the radiation reactor. In, there's one at Pelindaba and there's one at Kuburg. They can choose. Would you like to die in Cape Town or would you like to die in Pretoria? Huh?
That's true.
Somebody else, somebody suggest something better than that. I dare you.
I mean, just even if you start simple with electric shocks, literally, at your desk if you aren't doing your work.
No, but we don't have electricity for that, Leon. Need one of those fly swatters, Gareth was talking about.
We can use the tennis racket that I use with my nephews. That's what we do, right?
Work.
I'm telling you, just turn up the amperage because it's the current that's painful. It's not the voltage. Mm. That's what you need. All right, so now we've solved. There we go. See, it took us 5 seconds to solve Eskom's problems. But,
and mosquitoes with a tennis racket.
And we have some mosquito problems solved at the same time. I mean, we're very good at this. A board meeting with a box of crayons, says Ricardo. Yeah, probably. Money for a new logo, but no money to fix the issues. Cakes of note, says Cheesy Khan. The old Cape Town logo, great. New one, shite. I don't know what the new Cape Town logo looks like. I remember the old one had like Table Mountain round and round and round. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I see that.
Cape and Hubba says they changed it for no good reason. See if you can find a picture of that for me, Buckabunch.
I'm looking.
Yeah. Eskom took Black Friday literally. Well, what did they do? They took away all our power, right? That was Eskom's Black Friday special. By the way, did either of you... Oh, I feel like such an idiot. I mentioned that I had to go and shop on Friday.
Boom, you didn't. So,
groceries. So I thought, listen to how dumb I was. Okay, so here's me being stupid. Friday morning after the show, I'm like, okay, let me go and do the grocery shopping. It shouldn't be too difficult because there's a shop right up the road. There were no queues there. It was easy. So no bullshit. So now I have a false sense of confidence and security. Now I'm like, okay, it's not so bad. Apparently Black Friday was a complete disaster though. There were not crowds of people. There were not huge sales. Apparently it was absolutely a non-event. So for all those companies that wasted, again, marketing and advertising people, you wasted your money and you wasted millions of rands on marketing your Black Friday specials and nobody came. Maybe it's time that you stopped putting all this stupid money into that stuff. Anyway, so I go to the shops. Then after I've done my grocery shopping, I'm like, oh shit, I need to buy, because my router here at home has been giving me shit, right? So I think, I'll go to the mall. But now I've forgotten that it's Black Friday. I'll go to the mall, which is such a dumb idea. And first of all, let me just say these property companies that own the malls, you guys should be ashamed of yourselves. Because as I drove in, it said Black Friday flat rate, 10 rand. Whether you're in there for 5 minutes. Yeah, for 5 minutes or for 3 hours, you have to pay 10 rand. These sons of bitches. I mean, normally they do 15 minutes free or half an hour free or whatever. They saw an opportunity to scam us, to steal money from us. You know who it is. It's the big property companies, the Liberties and all of those guys who own these shopping malls, right? And they take – now that to me is daylight robbery. And they think we're not going to notice. They've got a little tiny little sign with – you know, the lettering is as big as the lettering on your phone. It says, flat rate, 10 rand for Black Friday. You're like, hang on, guys. What am I getting for this 10 rand for Black Friday that makes it better for me than it is for you? Oh, hang on, zero. That's right. You're getting extra money because all the shops have tried to lure people in. And you as the property company go, we don't want to miss out on our chance to make money for Black Friday. So we'll just charge them a flat rate for parking. Sons of bitches.
Yeah, so instead of like the 8 rand that you'll pay for your 20 minutes, you end up paying more. But I mean, okay, so firstly, just because I'm involved with brands and with Black Friday specials, it was like a big thing online. People did take advantage of digital marketing campaigns. Those did seem to do the trick, and a lot of people are buying online. They're not stupid. Yeah, they're not going to go and stand in a queue.
No, I'm not saying that there weren't online specials, but certainly the shops were not teeming with people as they expected them to be.
No. You know? And I think a lot of people have just gone online to do that. And the other thing is the specials, they're no longer run on just Black Friday.
Yeah.
They start with the early access, which starts about a week before. And some of them extend to January the 10th. So it's no longer Black Friday on the day. It's Black Friday month. So, I mean, those specials run for a long time. And then things change again on Cyber Monday. That's today.
Yeah.
So it's all spread out. So it's not all on one day anymore. It's not traditional like that because people have learned differently. And then secondly, a lot of these Black Friday specials aren't really special. They're specials that were running anyway.
Yep.
I saw a video of someone in a store in America where they were taking out the paper signage that said Black Friday 20% off, and underneath was for sale 20% off, just a normal sign.
Right.
Yeah, but like it is a lot of that, right? It's so, I remember this one year I did a thing where I bought this USB and then I kept it on my wish list and I watched the price fluctuate and then it got to Black Friday. I think I bought it cheaper around about March than I what it was for sale for in Black Friday. And it had like a big, this is Takealot. And Takealot are egregious of this because they like doing this like 30% off and the price doesn't change. They just like change that 30%, 20% off. And it was more expensive. You see,
I mean, they also think we're all stupid and most of us are. So they can fool us by just, you know, kind of, they just make it look like the price has gone down on Black Friday. And then people are like, oh, it's a special. I've got to do this. So here's an interesting thing. I mean, I find that these Black Friday specials are nonsense. But somebody says here, and this is great news because we just advertised them the other day, is these Ring cameras that we spoke about. Remember?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So Steve says Takealot had some nice specials for Ring cameras. So there we go. At least we're not talking bullshit to you. Apparently, Ryan, producer Ryan, who's coming in to give us the sport in a second or two, he says that the Nike factory was flooded in Woodmead with people. So I think there are still places where there were a lot of people. I mean, it depends. I don't know who has money. Ryan, you saying the shop itself was just full of people? Did you go there?
No, I didn't go there. I saw a video online. I've uploaded it here. You would have hated this, Gareth. This is at like just as the shops were open. Imagine that.
You know,
that looks fake, actually.
Do you think so?
I looked at Bakabantu and Leanne's faces, and they were both like, oh my God.
Just to speak on this, that is disgusting. Like, what do you need so much that you have to flood a shop like that?
You get two kinds of people. You get people who are like, they just get caught up in crowd hysteria and they just want things and they don't think. And you get people who are like, there is no special they could offer me that would make me run across a tar road like that and queue for like, I don't know how long those people queued for like 20% off. I'd rather pay the 20% after the sale's done and go and get them in my own time. Right? You get two people.
I would run like that. I'd run like that for like free petrol for 10 years. Then I'd possibly put on my sports bra and give it a good go.
No one's giving you free petrol for 10 years, though. I mean, that's I think South Africans we'd all be keen to do whatever we could for free petrol for 10 years. But this is nothing like that. And this is what drives everyone crazy is it doesn't make sense. It's just like it's completely crazy.
It is.
Also, I would, if there's ever a good stuff, day, take a sick day.
I just feel sorry for those people who are like, how bad are things for you? And how much do you need this bullshit, this stuff? Like what stuff is worth?
Especially in this case, it's just shoes.
And it's probably not even good specials. That's the other thing.
Yeah.
It's not even good specials.
That's exactly right. It's bad. It's so sad. And I don't know, like there's no, I have to think really hard about this, but product wise, what would you actually go to?
I know a lot of people are disappointed they couldn't get PS5s. Apparently there was like some special with one of the banks and it just crashed completely.
Yeah, it was FNB, it was my bank.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
They just crashed completely.
They kept on
completely.
Pushing that to me. I was this close of getting a PS5.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Ryan's got some sport for us. It's time for Beyond the Scoreboard with our sports recap for the weekend brought to you by Superbets. Take it away, Ryan. What do we got?
Thanks for covering me last week, Leanne. You did an awesome job.
Yes.
So let's get into some Premier League of some football. Man City and Liverpool drew 1-1. Newcastle sadly thrashed Chelsea 4-1. Buckabunce is laughing at that, but it's terrible.
Objective sport. I can't say sadly. What if there are people who are listening who care about Chelsea, you know?
Well, I watched that game. Yo, it was bad.
That's it. Brentford lost to Arsenal 1-0. Aston Villa beat Spurs 2-1. And Man United beat Everton 3-0, and Garnacho came last night with probably one of the best goals I've ever seen. Goal of the season. It was really, really good. Let's get into some United Rugby Championships. Cardiff beat the Stormers 31-24. Lions beat Zebre 61-19. Bulls beat Connaught 53-27. Sharks beat the Dragons 69-14. And Leinster beat Munster 21-16.
Leinster.
Oh, gosh. Look at that.
Don't worry.
That's okay.
All Irish.
Good. It's all good.
Leinster. No, that's good. Go ahead.
All right. So then it was the Formula One race last night in Abu Dhabi. Verstappen wins again. And it's been a hell of a season for him. I mean, 19 wins. That's the most in one season. 10 most consecutive wins. 10 is the most consecutive wins they've ever had. 21 is the most podium finishes in a season. 575 is the highest season points total. And 290 is the largest championship winning margin for Red Bull, which is really, really good. Going into the Joburg Open, Thurston Lawrence imploded on Sunday as Dean Burmeister wins by 3 points. And that is your sport for Beyond the Scoreboard.
Yeah. Very nice.
At this point, it's just like the Formula One, just Verstappen, right?
Yeah, no, it's just a Verstappen show. I mean,
like, it doesn't make sense. At this point, like, are the other people even racing?
Leanne, you used to be a big Formula One fan. Are you still?
No. I tend to only get into sport depending on whatever the man in my life is watching because I kind of have to. But then I do actually get into it. You know what I mean? I really get into it. And in fact, Formula One's been a big part of my family's watching history for a long time. And in fact, out of my family, I would say I'm the person who watches the least sport. My aunt and mom will get together every big sporting match or game.
Really?
Yeah. They're huge cricket fans, huge rugby fans. They love the tennis, the cycling, everything. Yeah,
that's
so
very
it's
cool.
really only me who's kind of either too busy or couldn't give a shit.
Well,
I wonder how many women there are in the world who really only watch sport because their husband or their boyfriend does, and they don't really give a shit. Yeah.
No, well, I think once you do start getting into it, then it's cool, you know. Yeah. But yeah.
But I mean, even yesterday was pretty cool because they interviewed Lewis Hamilton and he said he will not retire until South Africa gets a Grand Prix. He's going to stay in Formula One until he's pushing to get the Formula One
to
Africa.
Well, this should be at Kyalami, right? We do have a pretty nice track there.
Well, they've got to update the track. It's going to cost millions. But like he said he won't retire until we actually get that thing happening. So that's
pay
cool.
for it, Lewis. How about you pay for us to get out? How about you pay that we can, you upgrade Kyalami for us and we can have it?
That's it.
I mean, with you supporting us and you paying for it, I don't see anything in your way.
We've been having it.
Can you imagine him trying to negotiate with government officials? Oh, man.
Exactly.
I would give to see that. Like,
that'd be horrible.
Anyway, thanks, guys.
It's depressing. All right. Thanks, Ryan. Cool. Very good. There's Ryan with our little update on the sport for the weekend. I didn't win any money. I haven't won any money. Like, I think I won one of my bets during the Rugby World Cup, and it was a good one. And then I reinvested that money in more betting and just
did you lose all your money on the cricket?
Oh, dude. So yeah, well, I bet on India, which everybody told me was a sure thing, right?
Yeah.
The odds weren't even that great. I was like, well, maybe I'll make like 0.5 on every one or whatever. Didn't even get close. Who knew?
Yep.
Well, clearly some people did. All right. Very, very interesting. We don't even have electricity, says Pablo. Calm down, Lewis Hamilton. And Sanella says that Nike factory has really good prices on regular days anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Why on earth would people do that? There's a lot of crazy people. It's just ludicrous. There was a great contest between Ferrari and Merck for second place in the Constructors' Championship. Last lap decision by a penalty. Very exciting. Okay. I mean, again, if you're into Formula One, I suppose you've got to look for reasons to keep it exciting for yourself.
Exactly. Like now what? You know? We're doing like, oh, great race for second place.
Yeah. Proper Gender says Dricus du Plessis won his UFC fight. That's cool.
What
UFC Takealot fight? Has a Cyberman. I don't know.
He's fighting in like what next year?
Takealot has a Cyber Monday PS5 special for $799, but for the first 200 customers, so it should be finished by now. Yeah, today's Cyber Monday, right?
Yeah,
I think I need to go and take a lot, guys. Excuse me.
Yeah, maybe today's the day, huh? F1 has been boring for the last 20 years, says Ricky. With a few exceptions here and there, like 2009, 2021. It's just the nature of the sport. I still love it, though. Winners know when to stop, says Proper Gender. Ah, thank you. Rub it in. I love that. Ricky says, yeah, his last fight was in July. Right, exactly. So, as Bakabantu says, there's some people who are very misinformed in the comment section. Okay, and others who are very well informed. So, a few things. We've got to get to Dr. Hanan in just a second or two. But Leanne has a story about a social media influencer and former radio presenter who has been arrested for his mom's murder.
Sure.
Sweet Lord Jesus. Tell me this story. And do we know who this person is?
I didn't know who they were before I saw the story. But also it may have been like local radio. So in Durban, okay. His name is Andy Kerr. I don't know if you perhaps know of him, but he used to be on Durban Youth Radio, and is apparently a social media influencer. What's that?
He killed his mom. He's been arrested for murder. Holy shit.
It was, yeah, pretty grim. So he and his mom, Dawn, lived in communal housing in Hazelmere in KZN, and neighbors became worried when the woman just seemed to have disappeared, 72 years old. And then eventually the neighbors tipped off the police. So paramedics and the security companies and the police all came and entered the room, and they found her decomposing body on a bed.
Oh my God.
So he immediately told investigators on the scene that she had died of natural causes. Oh. But I mean, the question is like, why is she still here? And it's been about three nights that he'd had with her body there. He said he didn't want to tell anyone and he stayed with her body for three nights. But then when he got pulled in, he apparently changed his story. And he said, no, she fell in the bathroom. She hit her head, etc. So then the story changed. Yeah.
You guys watch enough of that crime and investigation channel to know what's going on here, right?
I actually don't. I mean, either she did fall and slip and he's kind of gone into this psychological whirlwind and didn't know what to do about it and hadn't actually accepted it. That can happen sometimes. Weird things happen when people are in shock that way, and they can be in shock for days. But there's something sinister involved. But even so, then he would have probably done more to cover it up, whereas he didn't really cover it up. She was there in plain sight.
Investigator Bakabantu, what do you reckon has happened here?
Nah, this guy is crazy. He killed his mom. Probably there's some kind of life insurance out there. And like, yeah, like it's creepy how he kept her. Like, are you saying in plain sight?
Mm-hmm. Nah, on a bed.
Yeah, that's something went loose up there.
So yeah, and apparently he was a very private person, kept to himself. So my immediate like empathetic side of me reached out and I thought, what if this had happened by mistake and he was just kind of spiraling and didn't know what to do.
You're much too nice. You know, have you ever heard in these stories when they catch someone who's like murdered a family member or gone on a shooting spree or whatever, people always go, oh, he was such a nice guy. He always kept to himself. They always use those words. They say he always kept to himself. Exactly the way you said it now. Those are the people you look out for. Those people who keep to themselves.
And live with their moms. Not...
Jesus. Well, yeah, exactly. But then these days, you know, most young men live with their parents because they can't afford property.
This is true.
Horrible story. Well, okay, we've never heard of him though, so he's not like he wasn't like super famous or anything, right?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe he just didn't appear on my For You page for some reason, but who knows? So yeah, quite grim actually. And like someone here was saying, kind of a Bates Motel joking atheist. That's exactly what I thought of. Mm-hmm. Bates Motel thing. Where he kept his mum.
I got to say that the person who scored, while we're talking about murderers, the person who scored best on Black Friday, who got the best deal for Black Friday, was Oscar Pistorius.
Mm. Yo, but like
he got a great Black Friday deal. He got out on parole.
No, next
for Black
year.
Friday, but he's only it's been okayed, so he'll be coming out next year for his parole. He'll go back to Uncle Arnold's Abbey, which is very exciting.
It was very, so I read the story and then I saw Reva's mom comment on it. He's like, nah, this guy hasn't changed. He still killed my daughter. I still want answers. I'm like, yeah, eh? Like, there's a fine line there, Gareth, when you think about, like, this parole thing. If you've served your time, are you absolved?
No, you're never absolved. And this is why you can't ask the mother of the victim for her opinion. Mm. Obviously, that's going to be her opinion. Now, I'm sympathetic to this, but there is also a point because we live in a world where you have to forgive people eventually. You have to move on. People, you know, you can't live with this bitterness and resentment in you forever. And I'm not in a position to tell Reva's mother what to do or what to think. But the guy can't stay in jail forever. That's not how we work as a society. We've agreed in society that there is redemption. Right, you don't have to stay a criminal forever. You don't have to be in the bad books of humanity forever. There's a way out for people, and
unless you can't be rehabilitated.
Well, if you can't be rehabilitated, then that's got to be part of the sentence as well. Like you're a raving lunatic, and you're just dangerous to society. But
how do you prove rehabilitation though? How do you prove, like in Oscar's case, right? He's going to kill another girlfriend. Like it's not like he had a girlfriend in prison that he wasn't killing.
I think that we've agreed. No, it's fine. You're allowed to joke about this because it's not actually our problem. But if you were if you're the state, there has to be a way out for people.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you know, what's the point of sending people to prison for any sentence if when they get out, you can throw them straight back in or they can't come back into society? And I know all the arguments about, you know, child rapists and murderers and people like that who are terrible people. And, you know, Oscar's clearly a murderer as well, whether it happened by accident or whatever else. We were all in that. You remember how everybody was suddenly a legal expert during that trial. But we either are in a society where you go to jail, you serve your time, and then you get out and you can start your life again. Or we're in a society where you may as well just throw people in and throw away the key.
Yeah.
Which society are we in? So we know which one we're in. Yeah. And I'm not going soft on Oscar. You know, we said lots of things during the trial, like every other South African. Everybody had a point of view. Everybody had something to say. Cool. You're allowed.
Yeah.
But we also have to have a way for people to get back after this.
Absolutely.
We can't.
That's why we have sentences of a certain amount of years.
Correct. Yeah.
We can't say from the beginning, like what punishment is going to fit this crime? Oh, you know what? 10 years. Give it to the person, let them serve their time. And when they come out, you say, oh, you shouldn't come out. You can't go and change your tune.
Tough titties. Yeah, we're putting you back in. Not on. Yeah. Can't do that.
It didn't feel long enough. You know, we can't do that.
And also, I love the way that we ask people how they feel about this. Like, guys, that's not how it works. It's not about how you feel. There are laws. If the law cared about how you felt, then we would ask your opinion every single time there was, we'd go around and do street polls and say to people, do you think that this mass murderer should go to jail? And they'd be like, nah, I feel like it's actually okay.
He actually kept to himself.
Yeah, he kept himself. Are we going to ask those people what they think of a sentence? No, please. Let's not be stupid. This is unnecessarily dumb. So anyway, he's out for parole from next year on. Now, maybe you've got strong feelings about that. I'd like to hear about it. I'd like to hear what you think of it anyway. All right, so let's talk a little bit to Dr. Hanan, who's always my favorite part of a Monday. Hey, Doc, how are you?
Hey, guys. I'm well. How are you doing?
Good. Good, good, good. Did you manage to stay away from the shops for Black Friday?
I stay. You know, I'm sure you've seen those memes. It's like a certain item, $4.99 pre-Black Friday, and everybody's like, hold, but Black Friday is still $4.99, and everybody goes. Yeah. So, so no, I stay away from the shops.
So if you manage to stay away, I just want to ask you quickly about this idea of crowd psychosis and crowd madness, because we know it's a real thing. You know, hysteria, being swept up in the crowd, the way people behave like animals when everybody around them starts screaming, they start screaming. We have that in us, right? And then we'll get to the proper subject for this morning in a second. But I'm fascinated by the way people behave in crowds. They tend to lose their minds. It's a well-established phenomenon, right?
It is a well-established phenomenon. People get involved in criminal activities when the group does. People get involved with illogical behaviors when the group does. When you're outside of a restaurant and you see the line going right around the block, you think the restaurant is much better than the other restaurant that has no line in front of it. So we are social human beings, and we take our cues from our social environment. And when the social environment gravitates towards a particular viewpoint or a particular restaurant or a particular environment or situation or condition or political view, that's what we think is good for us as well.
So, okay. I mean, there's no way to combat this. It's going to be part of what humans do and how they've behaved for thousands of years. But there are also those people who don't participate in this stuff. Are any of us above it, or do we just think we are?
Well, a lot of people rebel against the group, but the rebellion is actually you are a part of the rebellion. So you are associate yourself with the opposite. So you think you are against, you know, the social structure, but all you're doing is you're going in the opposite direction. So the moment the social dominant structure actually changes direction, you change with it. So you're like the opposite all of the compass. So you are still controlled by it, but nobody's bigger than our own psychology.
You're not uniquely rebellious.
Right. It makes you actually, you think you're smart, but you're not. You're acting in rebellion. I like that. You just explained it to me. It's like you think you're special because you're going the other way, but actually if they change direction, you would too.
Exactly.
So you're in control. Okay, so let's move to today's subject, because I think this is an important discussion and it's something that comes up in argument quite a lot. Now, I know one of the tactics that that people will use in order to buffer up their own case in an argument, and God knows you can't help yourself these days, but get involved in online arguments for whatever reason. Everybody does it. And it's really, really soul-destroying and sometimes not terribly satisfying, even if you're winning. But one of the things that people are unaware of, and we're all guilty of it at some level, the smartest people, the dumbest people, the most informed, the least informed, we all are guilty of confirmation bias. So I wanted to talk about what this is and what the psychological consequences of confirmation bias are and how it works in our minds. So can you give us an explanation for that?
Definitely. So When we are born into this world, we are blank slates. We don't understand how the world works. We don't understand the rules of engagement and what happens. Mom and dad teach us the rules of the game, and then teachers, and then society, and then culture, country, and life experiences. And then we develop what we call core beliefs and lenses in which we see the world through and in which we see ourselves through. And once I wear these lenses, imagine I've got a red lens, a red glasses, and you say to me, Hanan, what do you think of this black T-shirt? I will look through the lens and I will go, well, that's not a black T-shirt, that's a red T-shirt, because I see the world through the lens. If I believe I'm not good enough, and you come along and say, Hanan, well done for achievement X, Y, and Z, I will look at that and go, no, I was lucky, or no, I didn't do that. I'm still not good enough because I see the world through the lens. Now, all core beliefs come from life experiences, and some core beliefs are very healthy and some core beliefs are unhealthy. And imagine me making you drive from Joburg to Cape Town, and I give you a roadmap that was drafted in 1876. Well, naturally, you're going to get it wrong. And it's not a question of what's wrong with me, because there's nothing wrong with you. It's a question of what's wrong with my map. So when the core belief, when the map, the way in which you see the world is functional, it serves purpose, it has utility, then it's good that you stick to your guns, because it keeps your world stable and consistent and predictable. But when the roadmap is outdated, no longer serves a purpose, gets you lost every single time in whichever area of your life, then your view of seeing the world, your rules of engaging with the world is wrong and needs to be real life tested. So when it's good, stick to it. Of course, it's very good for us. And when it's not good, you got to change that.
What's that? When it's good, it's really, really good. And when it's bad,
it's horrid.
It's really, really bad. It's really, really bad. And by the way, the brain is really conservative in terms of sticking to what we know. So when the brain holds on to a particular roadmap, it wants to keep on looking for ways and means to confirm that that roadmap is correct. Because change is very difficult for the brain to accept, because back in the day, change equals I might not survive. So the brain wants to look for proof of why my roadmap that was even drafted in 1876 is still current and relevant. So I will read things, I will engage with things, I will debate things that prove me right and reject things that prove me wrong. We see this a lot. You know, I see this in terms of relationships. I might see a lady that's being abused in a relationship. We'll get her out of the relationship. And 2 seconds later, she's like, no, Hanan, he's a good guy. He didn't mean to. He didn't hit me. I think I fell. He's a great provider. And they go back to prove that the old roadmap is correct. So we do this financially. We do it in relationships. We do it socially. We do it in relationships. We do it in terms of work and sense of purpose. We want to keep on proving ourselves right. The human brain, and this is important, and just maybe to give you another analogy, if I take a person that grew up in an abusive household, let's say take a young girl, grew up in an abusive father, abusive uncle, naturally her roadmap is, well, the men are abusive. Now as you put her in a social gathering, she's 30 years old, you put in a social gathering, 100 men there, 99 of those men will treat her like a princess, but there'll be one guy that will absolutely abuse and control, and who will she naturally pick? That one guy. And every time she'll sit in my office right here and say to me, Hanan, I want somebody kind and somebody consistent and somebody honest and transparent and predictable, but naturally they gravitate towards what is familiar, what they know, things that prove them right. We do not create what we want. We repeat what we know, and that's the confirmation bias.
That's insane. I mean, rationally, it makes no sense at all. But you're telling me that people can't help it. This is what they programmed to do.
The subconscious mind is like a radar, and it's constantly looking for familiarity. So even though I want X, I will naturally create what is familiar to me. If from age zero, I get told that I'm not good enough over and over again, that will be my view of the world. That will be my roadmap. 40 years later, I want to be successful and happy and all those wonderful things. But I will always go out and create what I know. I will create experiences that make me feel the things that are familiar. I will confirm the bias. I will confirm the lens that is familiar to me.
Doc, just to jump in, how do you change that lens and how do you start recognizing that you do have these confirmation biases and how do you start reprogramming?
Right. So first of all, we all have confirmation bias. We can't get away from it. We all wear a lens. Nobody sees a clear view or a pure view of the world. The question is it working for you? And I want everybody to ask yourselves in these different areas of your life, are you getting it right? Well, in your career, in your financial security, with your family, with your friends, romantic partners, in your health, in your diet, in your exercise, in your sleep, are you getting from point A to point B? And if the answer is yes, well, wonderful. That means your lens is working. Your lens is functional. It's updated. The roadmap is current. But if you're not getting to your desired goal, then obviously your lens is broken. It's cracked. It's leading you down a path that's not getting you to your desired goal. So, but your question, how do we change it? These lenses are created, these core beliefs are created through life experiences. And the only way to change them, the only way, is not through affirmation or meditation or visualization or telling yourself how wonderful you are in the mirror. The only way to change these core beliefs is only through the opposite life experience, period. Life experience creates these lenses. And the only force in the world that will change it is the opposite life experience. So, for example, if you take, you know, back in the day, the way they used to train circus elephants is they tied an elephant to a tree, a baby elephant. The elephant tried to move. It couldn't. Eventually, the elephant developed the core belief. The tree is bigger than me. I can't pull out the tree. That is the elephant's core belief. That's the lens. 30 years later, the elephant is big enough to pull out 50 of those trees. But what does the elephant do? Of course it doesn't, because the tree is bigger than me. That's the elephant's core belief roadmap. How do we change the elephant's core belief? The only way, it's me saying to the elephant, I know you can't, but humor me and try once. And the moment the elephant tries once, okay, I'll try, pulls it out, it's done. The core belief will begin to change. But this is something important. I know we're running out of time, but I'll say one more thing. The moment the elephant pulls out the tree, what's developed in the brain is what we call cognitive dissonance. Cognitive dissonance is when I believe one thing, I can't pull out the tree, but I've just created the opposite. And the brain literally goes into a limbo state where it goes, and it's a horrible, sufferable state. And it's so sufferable that the brain would rather hold on to a core belief that doesn't work, the confirmation bias, than lean on something new that is better for me. But you have to create that experience over and over and over and over again until the brain finds familiarity and comfort in the new world, in the new core belief, for the new rule set. But that is only done through life experience.
Jesus, our brains are useless. What can I say? I mean, don't you think that? I mean, that's so stupid, right, Doc? I mean, that just proves how dumb we are.
Completely. Completely. We're just primitive machines. That's it.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Once you understand the workings of the brain, it's like, oh gosh, okay, now I see.
Well, you know, it makes even less sense, because that is you're like, well, why didn't my brain figure this out for itself before I had to be told this? It's so dumb. Like, if you have the ability to change things in your own head, why do you have to wait for someone else to show you how to change things in your own head? So stupid. All right. Thank you, Doc. Nice to speak to you as always.
Nice to see you always.
Have an awesome week. All right.
You too, guys. Bye.
To none. All righty. It's 7 o'clock. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in a minute. Don't go anywhere. CliffCentral.com, Monday morning. CliffCentral.com.